You've heard the scripture reading when they said, and this is from the NIV version, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods. Not the big G God, but the small G. Make us gods like those ones that were over in Egypt with them. Who will go before us? That was meaning that God of Moses and those that the God they thought they were serving had been too slow. He was too slow for them. So they began to doubt God. Mistake number one. And then they decided that they would worship some of those gods like the Egyptians did. Mistake number two. So for this fellow Moses, they said, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has even happened to him. People of God, get a pen and stick it right there in that scripture when you read it again. Because in other words, what they're saying is Moses and God took too long for them. Took too long in what they had told them to do. And he took too long, so they had to wait much longer than they wanted to. And so everything was waiting a long time. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. So I went to an article called on a website called Desiring God. And it says something like this: when the hours roll by and the sun refuses to rise, the waiting heart can nearly break, and yet break it does not. And yet it break it does not. At least when it's held by God's own hand. For as many saints have discovered, God knows how to make rivers run through the wilderness of waiting. Meaning God knows how to send you a blessing when you need one.
Yeah, say it.
God knows how to lift you out of your circumstances, yeah, out of your doldrums, out of your depression when it's needed. He knows how to bless you.
Yeah.
Run those rivers of blessings through your wilderness, yeah, while you're waiting. The wilderness of waiting. And that saying also says, what happens at the end is it is daily refreshing our driest hopes. Anybody in here ever hope for something and it seemed like it was just going to be too long in coming and we had to go through the wilderness of waiting to figure out what was the end that was going to be? I don't know who this is for, I don't know about your circumstances, but God knows your circumstances. And God knows you've been waiting a long time, but God also has your address. God has got your phone number. He knows how to text you when he needs to. God has what you need, and he knows exactly where you are.
Thank you, Lord.
I had to say that to myself many times, Brother CJ. God knows where I am. And so why am I concerned over things? Why am I'm getting upset? Why do I act like this when it's taking, I think, so long? Because God makes it so that sometimes we've got to go through the wilderness of waiting. And that's our subject, part one of this series today, the wilderness of waiting. If I wanted to, I'm sure I could have, with your permission, reversed the subject around and call it Waiting in the Wilderness. But as we start this series, we believe that there is a reason why God gave us the topic the other way around. Not long ago, God spoke and said, after hearing a message on waiting from the late Charles Stanley, my favorite, God said to talk about the wilderness of waiting. We don't try to copy and plagiarize because we don't believe in that, but inevitably, when you're doing things that come out of the Bible, a lot of things are going to end up being the same because the Bible's word is the word. And you don't plagiarize the word, you just say the word as God made it written for us. So let me tell you a little about this whole setup, and Pastor I is going to come and do the remaining part of the script of the sermon. Our Bible story today unfolds in Exodus 32. When Moses had been on Mount Sinai, standing in the very presence of God and hearing from the Lord on behalf of the Israelites. But his people were waiting in the wilderness for his return. So they got anxious, they got impatient, had been waiting in the wilderness and seeing the wilderness in the waiting. In other words, they thought they had waited long enough, and enough was surely enough. And don't we do this today? Amen, somebody. We can't wait for the right mate. We can't wait for the right job. We can't especially wait for the right timing that God has set for us. But God knows where we are. He knows why he wanted us to wait. But let me tell you this and ask you something. How many of you know you can't hurry God? Amen. You just got to wait. You ain't going to hurry him now. You ain't going to hurry him then. And you sure ain't going to hurry him ever. You just got to wait. Not hurrying him and changing your circumstances. Not hurry him in changing your issues. Not hurry him at all in your trials and problems and questions. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know that he that waits on him will see the blessing from him. Amen. Someday they're going to mount up on wings like eagles. And they'll run and they won't fail. Because God is true to his word. This is a microwave generation we live in. Amen. And this generation must learn that we got to wait on the Lord. Amen. Yeah. All of us. Yeah. But we all get impatient. Amen. So now we have Moses, who had been on the mountain so long. Exodus 24 and 18 said it was 40 days they were there. And they were tired. We didn't know how our people, oh my God, I'm so tired of waiting. And in waiting in the wilderness, they decided that they didn't know what had happened to Moses. In other words, they waited long enough for Moses. They wanted to wait long enough for Moses to come back and give them instructions and to lead them and guide them and tell them where the food was and where the water was and everything they needed. But Moses has taken way too long. So in this first part of the series, our job is to start the conversation on the wilderness. What does the wilderness of waiting mean? And what are we supposed to do in the meantime when we're faced with that wilderness? When the emphasis is now on your environment, your surroundings, and your circumstances. What are we supposed to do? Go ahead. So what is the wilderness of waiting? That's where we find it's not just a land mass that's largely undisturbed. That's what we tend to say a wilderness is, that it lacks roads and buildings. But it's like the song that the rapper back in the day said, it's a wild thing. Y'all heard that. Yeah, what you gonna do? ain't gonna go no further. Because there's other words in there. But it is a wild thing. And we pronounce it wilderness, but if you look at those first letters in there, it's wilderness. Amen. And so many of us will find that we're living in the wild thing days, and the wilderness thing is all over us, and more than just a wild thing out there, but it's an interesting thing to navigate. So we need the Lord to guide us each and every day. But how many of you know that sometimes God ain't saying nothing? You thought you were going to get the answer yesterday. And God didn't say nothing yesterday. In fact, 2 weeks might have gone by. And you ain't heard nothing from God. You thought you were going to have a Lazarus situation. And ain't nothing got resurrected. Oh, you would well, Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. My sister wouldn't have died. Well, God don't always answer when we think he should.
Amen.
But how many of y'all know when he gets ready to answer? Like the old folks say, he may not come when you want, but he's always right on time. Reminds me of the story where there was a bunch of hitchhikers out there, and they were, well, hikers who were in the wilderness, and they had a guide. And the guide was so great, he was supposed to be the best that they're out there. And as they were going along, lo and behold, one of the people said, "It looks like we're lost." And the people were wondering why this excellent guide didn't guide us all the way through. And he complained, the other one started complaining, and they said to the guide, they said, "I thought you were the best guide in the United States." And he said, "I am." But then the guide answered, "But I think we may be in Canada." So obviously, he didn't know where he was. All right, y'all got it. Amen. The Bible, and particularly our textual scripture today, tells us that the guide in this case, in Exodus, was and is God. Yes, he may have used some of the prophets to assist him in the guidance, but the guidance came from him. And the interesting thing about going through the wild thing daily with God is that you have to wait many times longer than you intended. I hope you know I'm right about it. I drive that home because he is a witness that sometimes you just gotta wait. You see, in the Bible, the wilderness was not the only wild thing going on. The wilderness was full of people who were homeless. The wilderness had no real homes for human habitation. It had little to no water for people to drink. Conditions were extremely dry. Have you ever had a dry condition where you wanted something to quench your spiritual thirst, but yet you didn't find anything that you thought would satisfy? The wilderness had little to no water. It had dry places. And often the plight was this when the people were waiting on God. No plants, no animals, no steak, Reverend Jay, by the way. No chicken, Rico. Y'all picking on them because I know those are some of their favorites. And not even had a ribeye yesterday. Amen. Not even a salad to eat. And they're waiting on God. And they don't know what to do. So the wilderness was three major things, and I'm going to sit down. It was a place to be tested by God. Because some of us don't want to be tested. God knows it deep down, and we know it. But we need the test. So we can have a testimony.
Amen.
All right. Then number two is a place to encounter our fears and our weaknesses and our struggles. Anybody ever been fearful, had weaknesses in your life, and you've had some struggles? All right, here I go again. Y'all know I always love to raise my hand because it's true. And then the third thing, the third major thing, is the wilderness is a place to experience transformation. Experience growth and self-revelation. No matter how long it takes God to provide it to you and for you, somebody here ought to say, grow up in God. Grow up in God. It's going to take a while, but it's on His timing. Guarantee you're going to learn something when it's over. In other words, the wild thing, the wilderness, your choice of terms, or as you would go into the wilderness waiting, you'll find out that it is a place of divine communication. It's a place of divine preparation, and it's a place of divine revelation. Amen. Sometimes it's simply a refuge. I hope somebody's hearing me today. Come on, Pastor I, and carry us on.
Bless the Lord, people of God, as we continue to look at this whole situation of wilderness and waiting. If we needed to summarize this whole concept of wilderness of waiting, we will find that in our time of waiting, we feel much uncertainty. Anybody ever had to wait and you just weren't sure how this thing was going to go or how it was going to turn out? Sometimes we get confused in how the directions will go or the decisions that will be made or even how far and how deep it's going to go. And so I'll give you just a few quick points and we'll keep it moving and go into our communion service. But in the wilderness of waiting, we find that God's timing is the ultimate component, because the wilderness of waiting is developed as development in our own minds. It really is not God's situation. See, because if you all will recall, if you follow 2 Peter 3 and 8, it will remind you, it says this, but you must not forget this, my dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a day. Oh, get your head around that kind of time. Amen, somebody. In the wilderness of waiting, there may be some misunderstanding, but we will have to learn what it is that God is saying to us. In the wilderness of waiting, you may feel like you are all alone, all messed up, and maybe God has even forsaken you. In the wilderness of waiting, your circumstances sometimes may get worse instead of getting better. Am I helping somebody this morning? You all will remember the situation with the woman who had the issue of blood, and it said that she had done all she could. She saw all the doctors that she could, but she did not get better, but she got worse. I'm helping somebody this morning. You may be anticipating better, but before you get to better, you may have to experience some worse. And even though you have prayed about it, and some of us lay our situations on the altar before God in the wilderness of waiting, you will find yourselves in a dry season with less than what you want. Anybody ever been there, had less than what you want? You may less than of what you can see before you, and less of what you believe you need. And what's more is you have less godly enthusiasm enthusiasm to go after the spiritual things that you need most. In other words, sometimes it'll take you through a depression. Sometimes it'll take you through that dry place where you are just down and you just can't seem to figure it out or find your way. The wilderness and waiting sometimes will cause even the best Christians to become hopeless. A few years ago, and our ministers will remember, along with Pastor Keith and I, we spent some time in a book called Hope in the Dark, Believing God is Good When Life is Not, was written by a gentleman named Craig Groeschel. And on the back cover, as they are trying to help you understand what the book is all about, it says, trusting God when you can't trust others, knowing God hears you when others don't, and finding light even when it's dark. In other words, you're waiting in the wilderness, better yet, in the wilderness of waiting. You see, in the chapter on crisis of belief, he talks about this whole notion of wilderness of waiting this way. He says, most of us know what it's like to have a mountaintop experience. You all know when we've gone to those retreats and you go to a place where you are just so high up on the mountain, it seems like nothing can take you down. For most of us, this is how people became Christians in the first place, he says. He said, we have an amazing experience in which we felt the very presence of God. He was real, he was tangible, and he was all consuming. In other words, we were all wrapped up in the very Spirit of God. In that moment, he said, we know that you just want to spend the rest of eternity just serving him and pursuing him and knowing him and making him known. He says he knows that that was his story. He said, after reading about God's grace in Ephesus, the second chapter, he said, I walked alone in a place of solitude, all alone, just outside the softball dugout at my university. He said, though I could never adequately describe it, God's presence was as real to me as the lunch that I had just eaten in the cafeteria. He said, I could feel his love. I could sense his forgiveness. I could hear that still, small voice. And he goes on to say, he said, it was in that moment that I just knelt down and I asked God to come into my life and into my heart. And that's where the transformation began in him. He says, at this point, he said he felt like God had answered every one of his prayers. Every Bible verse he read, he said it felt like it was written personally just to him. Anybody ever open your Bible and it felt like God was just talking just to you? He says, and everywhere I went, it seemed like God gave me the words to say, and he showed me the difference that I could make. He says, then he says to the readers in the book, he says that initially being a Christian can feel like an amazing experience. You have powerful times of prayer and studying God's word. Each day, the Bible seems to jump off the page at you, and you can ministers to you in just the right and perfect way. Sermons seem to be especially written for you and what you are going through, he says. He says, or thoroughly explains a scripture you have just read. He says, and then you, after you finish your Bible reading and you go on social media, and that same scripture you just read shows up on social media, and you know God is speaking to you. He says, when you're in your car and your favorite song comes on the radio, y'all ever done that? Got in and spent on the radio, and bam, there it was. That song that you love that ministers to your heart. He said, and it just feels like God is just playing it just for you. He said, you feel an urgency. urgency to help your non-Christian friends. And God constantly gives you the right words to say. He said, you know he is with you when you're in a rush at the mall and the parking space opens up right on the front row, right where you can get in and get out. That's when you know that you're on the top of the mountain. Then at some point, oh God, then at some point, real life begins to creep in. Anybody ever felt that life creeping in? He says, it's like the children of Israel. That's what began to happen to them. Life begins to creep in, and God's presence seemed to fade. All without realizing it, you come down from the mountain. You're back in the real world, and your faith doesn't seem quite so amazing anymore. He said, you still believe in God. You still go to church. You still try to read your Bible and pray when you have time. Come on here, somebody. But the sermons aren't always just for you. Your favorite song don't come on the radio anymore. And the best parking spaces are always taken. Finally, he says, suddenly life isn't going as you planned or as you hoped. It seems like God has stopped listening to you. Someone betrays you. God doesn't feel as close as he once did. You begin to feel a bit disoriented, uncertain where you stand with God or whether you're standing at all. You were on the mountain and now you're down in the valley. Do I have any people who have ever dwelled in the valley? I know I have more times than I care to talk about. But can I tell you, people of God, can we ask, have you ever felt like what he is describing? Do you wonder sometimes whatever happened with your relationship to God? Come on now, we just need a few of you to be honest in the house this morning. Sometimes you have felt like you have come down off the mountain. Now you're in the valley. And not only are you in the valley, but you're in the wilderness of waiting. Oh, yeah. But in our text, today, it's so obvious that the people of Israel were experiencing just what the author talked about in the book. And we want you to know that that's how they reached the wilderness of waiting. They were tired and they had reached that wilderness of waiting. They were in the wilderness and they were tired of Moses, tired of waiting on Moses. But moreover, even though they said they blamed it on Moses, but they really were tired of waiting on God. Oh, yeah. You see, in the wilderness of waiting, they took what they thought were matters into their own hands, and they did what naturally can occur even in the 21st century, and that is drift back to your old sinful ways.
Go ahead.
They didn't wait on God to lead them. They stopped waiting on God to direct them, to provide for them, to protect them. In short, they really did hate waiting on God. But notice how this only happened after they couldn't get things accomplished the way they wanted them to be accomplished. They had to wait on God to cross the Red Sea. Oh, yeah. They had to wait on God to bring them into the wilderness. But there was a group in the midst in the wilderness who didn't think they wanted to, or somehow decided they didn't have to, or maybe they didn't need to wait on God anymore. So they decided to make them a new God. And they decided to worship the new God. Like what they had seen in Egypt and the people in Egypt. See, that's why you got to really watch what you let into your eyes. You got to watch what you see, what you take in. Because see, you'll begin to believe that thing that they got is better than what you have. The God that they serve, the gods that they serve, somehow trial. And as the story goes, and we'll talk about this as we go through the series, they had so enraged God that God had planned to kill them. Now, if you don't believe me, you pick that up in verse number 10 in the text. But Moses said, God, no, don't, please don't. Hold back your hand for a little while and let me go down and talk to the people. You see, but the story also highlights much time Moses was spending. He spent a lot of time with God and in God's presence on Mount Sinai. And the people thought it was just too much time. See, that's how people start to complain when you tell them you're going to church on Sunday morning. And they want you to do something else because there's something else more exciting. There's something else that's that everybody else is doing on Sunday morning. And you're spending too much time over there. You're spending too much time with those people. You're spending too much time reading the word. And why do you do that anyway? See, sometimes people begin to complain, try to pull you away from those activities and from worshiping the mighty God that we serve. And so the people took matters into their own hands. Can I just tell you this before I go? And that is, people of God, I want all of us to remember we got to resist the temptation to build our own golden calf while you are in the wilderness awaiting. Stop fantasizing about how it would be or how it could be if you did not have to wait. If we would just wait on God, church. If we would learn to wait on God even in the wilderness. If we were to trust in God while we were in our wilderness season. If we would just learn to hold on just a little bit longer while we are in the wilderness of waiting. We are surely know that soon that you will find out. You will find out and understand, and we'll talk about this in deeper depth later on. Pastor Keith already told you that the wilderness can be a place of divine communication, can be a place of divine preparation, and a place of divine revelation. Don't get tired in the wilderness of waiting. God is still doing something in you. He's going to do something through you. And we promise you that at the end, you're going to be better for having gone through the wilderness of waiting. And the people of God who heard, who understood, just simply said, amen.